If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians in chapter 6, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we are going to go over this portion of Scripture in verses 10 through 20. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. As Paul states emphatically, I'm into using big words today. I don't know why. I just think it's fun, and so I'm going to use it. But he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And everybody said amen there, because that's where we are today, is it not? "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." As I was thinking about this in my life, I thought about what I preached about last week and how I encouraged you to keep walking according to the example that we've been given. And that was all in line with our theme for the year, "I press toward the mark." Remember, we revisited in Philippians where Paul said that. Okay? And so I thought, wow, I just was given two more messages here on Monday night. So this is going to be a three-part series. Okay? It started last week. Keep walking. Tonight, keep watching. Okay? Keep watching. Keep watching. Paul says, "Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." What's he saying? Keep doing it. Keep watching. And then next week, Lord willing, we'll have another one. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to let y'all guess. Okay? And I may or may not tell you if you're right. Okay? I'll give you a hint. It starts with keep. And the second word starts with a W. How about that? Okay. I'm not going to tell you now. Don't interrupt my message. Kids. Good job, Nathan. All right. Love Nathan. Anyways, now you distracted me. Look at there. I can start over again. Who was that? Brother Chadwick says that oftentimes. If you distract him during the message, then he just has to start over again from the beginning. Okay? I like it. Amen? Now, look back in Ephesians. Please stand. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. Here we go. Now, the word "watch" just simply means this: being awake, guarding, attending, and carefully observing. Okay? Keep watching. Now, we're gonna take this into all of these areas, and we're gonna even extend into another definition of the word "watch" here as we go on. But in these things, we need to be paying attention. We need to be awake. Dr. Smith often said this, and it's fun and it's funny, but it's so true. He says, we as Christians need to be alert. The world needs more alerts. Okay? Yeah. We need to be alert. Get it? Separate it out. Okay? And just like my, that's, you know, word play is fun to me. You understand that. My father-in-law sent some little round pieces of wood to my wife one time. And she said, He said here, this is in case you have anything that you need to accomplish. They were round tuits. Yes, he wrote the word tuit on the little thing so that you could get around to it and get it done. Okay, so see, I like wordplay. It's fun. Okay, so yes, we all need to be alert. Each one of us. And we need to be awake. We need to be attending to these things, carefully observing these things. And let me just borrow a phrase, if you don't mind. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Okay, yes, I know that has to do with gathering together. I understand. But like I said, I wanted to borrow that phrase because it's true. We need to be more awake now than ever concerning spiritual things. We cannot fall asleep at the wheel. It will be devastating. Local churches will close. People will die and go to hell. Mission fields will be unsettled as far as churches being established and people being saved. It's not going to happen if we fall asleep. We need to stay awake. We need to keep watching. We need to keep guarding and attending and carefully observing. For if we stop, the adversary will gain an advantage. He will. What is stopping things from just going completely off the rails? God's people marching forward. Could you imagine if all of us just laid down our armor of God and did nothing? What this world would be like? You said it's bad enough already. I know it's bad enough already. Imagine how much worse. Those of us that are fighting, those of us that are enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, those of us that are praying, those of us that are giving, those of us that are serving, those of us that are witnessing, we're the ones holding the battle lines. And those of us that are like us all around the world are the ones keeping this thing going. You understand that percentage-wise, okay? Those that call themselves Christians in the big picture are less than 1% of the population. It's a small number. And those of us that are Bible-believing Christians like us are 1% of that 1%. Hello? It's a small number. But thank God for the remnant. Thank God for the small number that are fighting. Could you imagine what it would be like if we stopped? If we stopped walking and we stopped watching. We need to make sure we stay in the fight. We need to make sure that we stay watching. Paul said, praying always with all prayer. He said, do it with perseverance. Perseverance. Mark chapter 11. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Remember what's said in the New Testament? Why don't we have things? Because we don't ask. So we need to watch in prayer. Always. Remember the model prayer. We went over that at length. In studying that. The Bible is written from a perspective that God's people will pray. God says, when ye pray. He didn't say, if ye pray. God wants us. He says, hey, you're my people. I want to talk to you, and you should want to talk to me. We need to keep watching in prayer. Luke chapter 11 is the account in Luke where he touches on the model prayer. Also in Matthew chapter 6. But he says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, One of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. So you understand that Jesus is giving the example. In Jesus' ministry, it talks about, I have a message, I don't know if I preached, did I preach it here? Called The Place. I don't know. Did I? Maybe I'll have to preach it to you. Okay? That'll be great. But do you understand that the Lord had different places where he liked to pray? There were scheduled things. There were places that he often went, etc. But he was an example. Here, it doesn't tell us this in Matthew, but it tells us in Luke that it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased praying, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. So God himself is giving us the example of prayer. And then, we know that he says when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, as so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. And why do you think he teaches them something? So that they will do it, right? And that's the whole point. We need to keep praying and keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. Even if our prayers aren't heard, so we think. Huh? Even if the answers don't come. Even if the answers that we want don't come. Even if it takes years and years and years and years, we need to keep praying. I can give you examples in Scripture about delayed answers in prayer and how those that prayed through got to see the result in the end. But we ought not quit. We ought not give up. We ought not think that, God isn't listening to me. Well, okay, I disagree with that. But we need to keep praying. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul says, continue in prayer. And listen to this. Then he says, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So we need to keep praying and watching. We need to have an expectation that God is going to hear us. Why else would we pray? You say, I pray and I feel like my prayers are hitting the ceiling and falling back down. Anybody ever thought that or said that before? Can I tell you something? That's not a God problem. That's our problem. Okay? That doesn't mean that God's not hearing our prayers. It means that something's stopping our prayers and that something has to do with us. We need to keep praying. And we need to continue in prayer. And we need to continue to watch. And he goes on and says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which also I am in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. That's funny. That sounds a lot like what he said in Ephesians. Well, you mean there's a purpose to prayer? Absolutely. There's some religions and groups that have these prayer books of pre-written prayers. Can I just ask a question? I mean, maybe it's a dumb question. I already mentioned today that there are such things as stupid questions, okay? So this may be a stupid question. Why? And to what purpose is a written prayer? What? I just don't get it. Because last I checked, I thought prayer was how we communicate with God. So you mean somebody that lived 300 years ago has written a prayer that works for me? I guess I could flip through the book and find one that fits my needs. Is that what I'm supposed to do? Wouldn't it be easier just to talk to God and ask him what I have need for? Hey, wouldn't it be easier just to come boldly before the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need? Yeah, I think so. I think I'll take that route instead. But you know what? He says we need to do these things. And then he says that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. He says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Those verses are coupled together. What's the subject of it? Prayer. Continue in prayer. How are we going to be effective in this old world, pressing toward the mark, trying to win the prize, trying to accomplish the work of God, if we don't pray? Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. No prayer, no power. How are we going to accomplish what God has for us to accomplish? Isn't it hard enough to fight the flesh? Isn't it hard enough to fight the world? Isn't it hard enough to battle the adversary, the devil, the roaring lion, the great dragon? Isn't it hard enough? And yet we try to do it without prayer? Yikes! But we do it so often. Yeah. If you're going to go charge hell with a squirt gun, which I'm all for, just make it a super soaker. I remember, I suppose I was probably, I don't know, when did Sam's Club come about? Anybody know off the top of your head? Maybe early 90s? Something like that? Okay, I don't know. Yeah, somebody Google it. No, just, not during the message, okay. I remember someone in my family got a thing to Sam's Club. I was in my mid-teens, and for some reason we went there, or somebody went there, and I found a big old squirt gun. It was a backpack squirt gun. Okay? It was great. It had like a 3-gallon tank on the back of it, and it had this hose that went from the tank to the squirt gun. And the squirt gun was a two-hander. Okay? And the great thing about this squirt gun is it was a cylinder, about a three inch cylinder with a plunger in it. Okay? And I could shoot a quart of water per squirt. Yeah, buddy. I mean, yeah. Nobody wanted to be in a squirt gun fight with me. I mean, now I had to go hide and try to fill it up again, you know. After, you can do the math. About 12 squirts later, I'm done. But by the time I squirted somebody with 12 squirts, they were drenched. Okay? They were beyond soggy. Okay? Cause that thing was just great. I mean, you could just go, and then, I mean, just, and it would go 50 feet. I mean, just, you could just nail folks with it. It's the greatest thing ever. So if you're going to use that kind of squirt gun, go for it, okay? But most of us don't have that kind of squirt gun. So you know what we need? Lots of prayer. Lots of prayer. Don't go challenge the devil, if you will, without praying, without being loaded up. Brother Coral mentioned the invention of carpet bombing before troops go in to service. Well, that's what prayer is. I mean, let's get some support, but we need to continue to be awake in prayer, carefully observing, attending, guarding in prayer. Jude 1. Or actually, it's just Jude. The Bible programs have to put a chapter number to choose. You know, you got to choose. So there is no chapter. Jude verses 17 to 23. Jude writes and says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some having compassion, making a difference. and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. How do we accomplish all this? Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's how we accomplish these things. By keep praying. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. Rejoice evermore. That's good, right? Pray without ceasing. Exactly. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. So far, all these things are included in prayer, right? When we pray, we're supposed to give glory and honor and praise and thanksgiving to God, right? We're supposed to be praying in the Holy Ghost, right? Quench not the spirit. What's the will of God? That we pray and continue in prayer. Because he says, when ye pray, not if ye pray. So he says, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. That's that whole exchange that Paul gives. And he says at the end of it, pray for us. Colossians 1. Paul says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, Paul loved the people at Colossae. He was glad to hear of their report that they were doing well. But he said, look, we've invested in you. We've worked with you. And now we're not going to cease to pray for you. Hey, do we pray for one another? Have you been able to lead people to the Lord in your lifetime as a Christian? Do you pray for those people? Paul said, hey, you mean something to us. If somebody means something to you, pray for them. You know, in different married couples retreats and seminars and things that I've been a part of, they ask you, how do you spell love? And they say T-I-M-E. Okay, any married couples been to the same retreats or seminars or heard the same thing, right? Okay, and I don't disagree with that. But let's talk about Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. Yeah, okay. Well, the only thing redundant was in Christ. Christian brothers and sisters, okay? How do we spell love for the brethren? P-R-A-Y. If you really love somebody, pray for them. And keep praying for them. And keep praying for them. And keep praying for them. You ought to take this birthday list that we have and use it as a prayer list. We have our missionaries on one side, birthdays on the other side. And yes, some of you, I'll get your birthdays on there as I make some updates. But why? Why do we do that? So you can send somebody a gift card for their birthday? Well, that's nice. But how about you pray for them every day? Or maybe pray for them during their birthday month. Or, you know, whatever you're able to do. But pray for one another. Paul said, hey, for this cause, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you. Keep praying. James chapter 5, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed a sin, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. And pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does that insinuate? That you're going to keep praying. Keep praying. If you'll remember, in Matthew 26, we have the record of a very dark time in the Lord's ministry. He's on the eve of his time when he's going to be crucified. And they're going to come and take him away. And they're going to beat him and spit upon him and pull out his beard and beat a crown of thorns into his head and whip him and mock him and all these awful things. This is all coming upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows it's coming. He's God. And it's a great time of sorrow, and he asks his top three to come on with him and fight in prayer. And he says, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He said, guys, I need you right now. I need you three. He told the others just to sit there. And he takes these three and he says, all right, I need you all to watch with me. And he gives them this thing. He tells them why. And I know the Lord. He imparted the imperative nature of this request. And guess what happens? He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Time out. I like supposing things. Do you, any of you play this game? Okay, I have an analytical mind. I like the what ifs. Okay, I like to. Well, if this happened, then this. Could you imagine? Just imagine for a moment, if Peter. I just tried to mush Peter and what I was going to say next together, but it came out wrong. If Peter would have had the gumption to pray for that 1 hour, would he have betrayed the Lord? We'll never know. Will we? Why? Because he didn't keep praying. What could God do with your life if you'd watch with him for 1 hour? If you'd keep praying. Oh, we sing the song. I've said this before. Sweet hour of prayer. Oh, I wish that were true. Oh, I wish that were true. In my own life, I wish that were true. Most of us, it's more like sweet minute of prayer. Or sweet moment of prayer. But it ought to be sweet hour of prayer. It ought to be. Keep praying. He said, Peter, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Hello? He went again the second time. He gave Peter another chance. Reminds me of a joke I tell, but I'll tell it later. He says, watch and pray. He went again the second time. Oh, my Father, this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it. Thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again. For their eyes were heavy, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Just imagine. Imagine what it could have been like if Peter would have kept praying. Now imagine what your life could be like if you would keep praying. If I would keep praying. I agree 100% with Dr. Coral. One of our greatest failures as Christians is the failure to pray. To really pray like we should. If we're going to press toward the mark, we need to keep walking. If we're going to press toward the mark, we need to keep watching in prayer. Many times in Scripture, the word supplication is mentioned with prayer. Paul says, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Supplication just really enhances the word prayer. It means entreaty, humble and earnest prayer in worship. So, in other words, if you want to put it in southern terms, it's really praying. You know, there's praying, and then there's really praying. You know? I think I got that right. All you southerners should be hooping and hollering here. I mean, that's real praying. That's supplication, right? Well, you just got to get a hold of God. Well, there are many examples of this. We have examples in Matthew. And in chapter 24, we know that things should be done with prayer and supplication. Over in Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Daniel 9, Daniel said, I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Does that sound earnest to you? That's earnest, right? Remember when the disciples came before the Lord and they couldn't cast out those demons. Why couldn't they do it? Because some things only come by prayer and... Yeah. So there's some times where we need to level up our prayer life, right? With prayer and supplication for all saints. But we need to keep watching unto prayer and unto supplication. Remember our studies from Psalm 119. David wrote, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Remember the church as they watched Jesus go up into the clouds, and the angels told them, "What? Why stand ye here gazing, right? Go and do what he said." Well, they did. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Because they did that, what happened in chapter 2? Yeah. Absolutely. Why? Because they continued in prayer and supplication. In Second Corinthians. No, I'm sorry. That's not Corinthians. That's Chronicles. In Solomon's dedication, he talks about the heart of God's people. He said, have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee. You think he was serious? Yeah. They were dedicating the temple to God. He says, that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. We need to continue watching in prayer. We need to continue watching in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And then as I continue tonight, and as we kind of close this out, don't get your hopes up. I still have 17 more scriptures to read. I'm just kidding. I don't. 1, 2, 3, 4. Only 6. That other word, the other meaning for the word watch has to do with, actually, with anticipation of his coming. Oh yes, we need to be aware, we need to be alert, we need to be awake, but we need to be ready for the Lord to come. So not only do we need to watch in prayer and supplication, we need to watch for our Lord. For he shall soon return. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. What did John say? Come what? Come quickly. Come quickly. Folks, do you want him to come? Or some of you, like some people in this world, no, not yet. I still have things I want to do. I still have things I want to experience. Or maybe you're a procrastinator like me. I still have things I haven't done yet. You know, like I want to shore things up before, you know. Maybe all of you are already all shored up. Good for you. Okay. I still have some baggage. I'm sorry. I guess I'm dragging the church down. My bad. Don't we all? Come on. Like, no, Lord, don't come yet. I don't have this fixed in my life yet. And I sure would be embarrassed if you came right now. Right? Huh? No, but we need to be watching. And you know what? The Bible gives us the principle that we need to be ready. Because guess when he could come? Yeah. Right now? He can come right now. He can come tomorrow. He can come next week. It could be next year. I don't know when it'll be. But we need to be ready. In Matthew 24, he says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, he that shall make him ruler over all, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Time out. Ah. You notice he switched on us. Just because I'm not watching for the Lord, now I'm an evil servant? No. I love God. I love the Lord. He's my Savior. Did you all pay attention? He said, blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. And he goes on and he says this about... He says, but and if that evil servant, he just changed the title of the servant based on what? Whether or not that servant was watching for his Lord to return. You say, that's tough. Yes, it's tough. But it's true. So if we're not giving credence to the coming of the Lord like we should. If we're not continuing to watch, if we don't have our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, if we're not looking for the coming of the Lord, then we're an evil servant. I'm not calling you an evil servant. This whole book is. He said that the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. In other words, he's doing whatever he wants to do. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25, we're told to watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. It's a lot like the talents given out, the five, the two, the one. The two were called good and faithful servants just because they were working for the Lord. And when he came, they were there. They were ready to give what they had gained. And it was great. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The one that didn't, that wasn't ready, that had the one talent buried in the ground, was a wicked and slothful servant. So are we if we are not watching for his coming. Well, your eyes ought to be peeled. My eyes ought to be, we ought, every time we hear a trumpet, we ought, is it now? Start blowing your trumpet, brother. Just randomly. Just take it home with you and, you know, come by around the neighborhood and just start, and just see if anybody opens their door. I think we need to think about this more than we think about this. I think we need to have this on our minds a little more than we do. You know, we've gotten a little comfortable. Oh, he hasn't come yet, so he I don't know, man. I don't think he'll come right. Well, I'm not sure. No, we ought to think it could be today. It could be today. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding. You understand? We're supposed to be ready. He says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. In 1 Thessalonians, he says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. I think we need to be ready for the coming of our Lord. I think we need to keep watching for the Lord's return. I think we need to keep watching in prayer. I think we need to keep watching in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving and continue in it day by day. I think we need to keep walking as a Christian should walk, following the examples of those who have gone before, following the example of our Lord, following the example of the Word of God. You know what I call that? Pressing toward the mark. And we today, here at Lighthouse Baptist Church, need these two things more than ever in our daily lives.
Will you keep walking? And will you keep watching?